send out the email about what's going on in India. So we tell these people, you're not appointed for this, right? You're not appointed for these sufferings, these tribulations. Apparently they didn't get the message. The girl, the 14-year-old, and the people in India. Apparently they didn't get the message, you're not appointed to tribulation, right? This is foolish. We are. We're the ones that are persecuted and martyred. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is the verse that hit me when Wendy was talking about this girl. And I know where Pastor was going with that, and I know me and Kevin have talked about this too. I try to get along with all kinds of people, but if there's two things that I think I can lose and drop somebody, is the defilement of a woman against her will and a child. I think I could kill somebody. I really would. And this is wickedness. This is wicked. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, obviously he's talking about last days, end times, the coming of Christ. But verse 5:9 says, for God not appointed us to be wrath. Remember that. Remember, always remember that. You are not going to taste the wrath of God. He tasted it. Jesus Christ tasted the wrath of God for us, that we would never have to taste his wrath. Because wrath comes on the day of the Lord, but it also continues forever, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We are never going to taste that because we have a Savior that hung on the cross for us. So God not appointed us to wrath, but attained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep. We should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. This is the point of a congregation. This is why you are to congregate and assemble together. We're studying the book Revelation. We're studying the seven churches right now. They are, and we all agree, they are a type of Christian. Each one of those. But they are local congregations too. What they're not is church ages. But they are a local congregation where people come together to worship God. That is the purpose of going to church, to worship God. Not to make connections and cut my lawn. It is to worship God. The church is for the church. The church is for the believer. Salvation is for the unbeliever. The church is where the believer gathers. We worship God together. What is worshiping God? What is that? It's putting him above everything in your life, because he's worthy of it. It's putting him number one in your heart, and you come together as a congregation to worship him together as a group. We can go through all the verses, not forsaking the assembly. Don't forget, the very first church group started at Pentecost.
Right.
Who met him there? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there and met them. And we see what's going on here. The Holy Spirit has manifest himself in this church, and it's not because of our righteousness, it's because of who we believe in. And it's not, belief doesn't come from your mind, it comes from your heart. And the heart is changes your life. It's all about him, it's all about what he does in your life, and it's all about the work of the body. The church has many members. He's the head. I don't tell him what to do. He tells me what to do, but many members. There are no Lone Ranger Christians.
Amen. Thank you.
Lone Ranger even had Tonto.
Yeah.
All right. So, verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another. How do I pray for that girl if I never met her? Edify one another, even also as you do. And beseech ye, brethren, and to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. So you can see there's a purpose for congregating together. It is to worship God, to bring prayers and supplication for people that are hurting in this world. I don't know, like you said, Dad sent out the email with India. They're asking for prayer. You know what they said? They're praying for us.
Yeah.
They're being persecuted.
Right.
Their lives are at risk every day, and they're praying for us. Ought we not
Pray for them.
Yeah.
So that's what I say. Well, we've been going through here. The book of Revelation, it's important. It is important.
Yeah.
We've said all along, the pre-trib, that's not biblical.
No.
This is biblical. They don't agree. They're not even close. This is not a gray area or however it works out. Well, I believe I'm saved and however it works out. This is important. These are opposites. This says millions, billions of people are going to disappear and the world's not going to be able to explain it. This says few people are going to get caught up. They're not in agreement. Jesus, so which one of these is right? Is there a great harvest that's going to take place before the tribulation starts? Because it doesn't agree with what Jesus said.
Right.
Jesus said, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth? Meaning, hardly. He said, straight and narrow is the path, few that find them. Proverbs says there's many more of the children of the desolate than of the bridegroom.
Right.
Jesus said there's going to be a falling away first, and then the man of sin be revealed. A falling away. I was told that lighthouse, well, that means bad teaching, bad doctrine. No, it doesn't. It means an apostasy.
Right.
It means people were sitting next to you one day in church, and when the Antichrist took the throne here, and he said, you people need to take a mark, worship me, people are going to go, I'm on board.
Yeah,
I didn't sign up for this. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
First Timothy chapter 4, perilous times will come. Some shall depart from the faith. Depart. These aren't in agreement. They're completely opposite. So it is very important to understand the timing of the book of Revelation and the markers we're looking for. But what I started realizing about the book of Revelation is your relationship.
Amen.
It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The apocalypse means the revelation. It doesn't mean this world war. Apocalypse means the revealing of Jesus Christ. And the only thing that's going to matter when he appears is your relationship with him. And there's a whole lot of people that have it here. They understand it here. That he died for your sin. But it has not changed their life. And this is what we're looking for. We're going through the seven churches. We looked at five last week. He told each and every one of them to repent. I want to be told that. I know I fall and I sin and I need to constantly repent. But he is saying, if you don't repent from the way you think about me, Jesus Christ, you're dead. You're going to see the second death. You are not saved. So, I thought today we would look at the two churches. There's only two churches left. And we didn't do them in order of your Bible. We did them in order of this. Basically, unsaved and saved. So these two next churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, they are both very similar when you study them and look at them. Turn to Revelation 2. When you study them and look at them, they're very similar to each other. And why don't we just go through and read them. For 2:8, okay? And to the angel of the church of Smyrna, write these things, say, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Remember that.
Yeah.
This is your promise. He was dead, he's alive. When he shows up again, he's going to make you alive forever. He's going to clothe you with righteousness, his righteousness. That's the promise. He rose from the dead, you're going to rise. Whether you wake or sleep, you're going to rise. He is going to lift you up to resurrect you. Okay, verse 9. I know thy works, and what's that?
Tribulation.
How do you teach you are removed before the tribulation? How are you a Bible teacher, a pastor, a prophecy expert writing books? How do you teach that we are removed before the tribulation? Right here it says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that are, say, they are Jews that are not, and are the synagogue of Satan. So to me, I wanted to look at this first verse.
verse 9 here, thy works, tribulation, poverty. So what is works in the Bible? It's your fruit. It's what God is producing in you.
Right.
It's the evidence of what you believe. There better be, if you say you're a Christian and you actually do believe, there has better been a change that has taken place in your life, and that's works. Right? So it produces works. It produces fruit. That's your fruit. So we're going to say, well, you're saying works saves you? No. Works proves you. Right. It proves what you believe in. And there's a lot of Christian denominations that have it backwards. They think you have to work. I have to go to church. I have to read my Bible. That's not how it works. It produces these things. First, I believe and trust in Him. Then I go to church. Then I read my Bible. It produces fruit.
It's an outworking.
It's right. And we'll look at it. So,
as a new creature, your old thing should pass away.
That's right. You're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to look like the rest of the world after you receive Christ. Clearly.
And if you truly do, you will want to know.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the point. Nobody tells us we have to do this.
Right.
I look forward to that. I look forward to Tuesday.
It's a gift.
That's
it's
right.
That's right. You know, it's like dessert.
Yeah.
I've been eating the garbage of the world all week, and now I get to be around like-minded people.
Yeah, like-minded.
The same spirit where we can build each other up.
That's right.
You know, and allowing God to cut those dead things off. Again, John 15. How are you going to produce fruit that God desires out of you? We got to let go of the old and take it.
That's right.
Yes.
And you don't produce the fruit.
There's a change that needs to be. We begin then as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord God Himself instructs us and changes us. We release what we have learned from the world. We repent of it. And the Lord God re-raises us as a new child.
That's right.
And He instructs us in His ways. And therefore, the works we do from that point on, truly as we follow the Lord, are not our works, but His works,
that's
that
right.
He has established these in us. That's that desire. And as a child under God, children don't like to be corrected as a child, but once they become adult, they participate in all that they were instructed in, and it becomes their reward unto them.
That's right.
This process this is the process by which we are being established. A child to the Father in heaven, a bride to the Son of God. And it's taking place, and there is a span of time. It's not an instant thing. You don't receive it and go, oh, now we're all going through it.
I've arrived.
You have to be raised.
That's right.
You have to touch the hot stove. You have to
pull
in the tablecloth. You have to do all those things that says, and the Lord says, no, we're going to correct that.
That's right. And as we were looking at last week, that we're the clay, He's the potter.
Yes.
And how does He do it? He picks it up, He slams it down. He allows things in your life. God hates sin. But He's going to allow sin in your life to draw you closer to Him. He will allow you to fall, to test you, to try you, to draw you into His bosom.
Amen. That sin is what takes away our old.
That's right.
It's established that you can know the difference and you can repent of it.
That's right.
And it has to be there, or you would have nothing to turn from.
And there you go. Lord said it perfectly. So now God, He allows something in your life. He gets you over it. You're broken. We're going to look at that. You're broken over it. What does it mean to be broken? I have sinned against my God. It hurts me that I've done this against Him. Yeah.
The thing is, so if we want to go back to looking at nature, when you break a bone, where it is mended becomes stronger.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what Jesus does.
That's what He does it. Ours is the easy part. And we'll look at it when we, these next two churches, our part in our relationship is made easy. Believe on Him, trust His word, and do not deny the faith. That's it. That's all we got to do. He does the rest. We're to be available.
And in Hebrews, I believe this is the joy that was set before Him.
Absolutely.
The word of the cross is by
the
chair. And He sat down at the right hand of the Father God. This is the joy that He did this for.
That's right.
The loving relationship of a child who He has chastened, who is turning now and saying, Lord,
that's right.
I understand you more. I love you more. I want to know you more. And that is the joy.
That is, I think
that's the joy that He...
It says that it pleased God to bruise Jesus for us. It pleased Him that God poured His wrath on us. And
This is relationship.
Yeah.
This is what God desires. Relation. Why did he create man? For relationship. It's not just about knowing him here and just, well, you know, I believe he died for my sins. He's also Lord. He's not just Savior. He's Lord. That means whatever he tells me to do, I'm doing it. Okay, so John.
And also speaking about tribulation, Jesus said in John 16:33,
mm-hmm.
and he said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world.
Amen.
You will have tribulation.
Yeah.
You will not be walking through the daisy fields.
Right.
Tribulation is
right.
going to happen every moment,
right.
even
mm-hmm.
after you're saved. And
you will have peace because you are saved.
Yes.
He just said it. That's when the real world begins,
right.
once you get saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start, the devils start to tag you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about Joel Osteen. They don't care about that church. They don't care about the Roman Catholic Church. They care about the true believer. Now they're going to attack you. They're going to attack
mm-hmm.
your family. And Acts 14:22 says, through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of
yes.
heaven.
Yeah.
Well, there's no verse.
But there's no verse.
This tribulation isn't this tribulation. This is everyday
tribulation.
Is
every day.
Yeah.
That tribulation is different,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Tribulation is tribulation.
Yeah, it's not
there's
a
period
right.
of time that's...
I may go through tribulation, but that don't mean I'm starting that tribulation.
Well, the girl, the girl over there,
mm-hmm.
she's going through tribulation.
Right.
Her tribulation matches this tribulation.
It matches it. But now I understand where you're coming from too. Because there is, Jesus talked about a tribulation just because you're a Christian in the world. The world will love its own, but it's going to hate anybody who's not of the world.
Right.
So there's just a day-to-day, if you're walking with Christ, there's a problem. And there is a specific time.
A great tribulation.
A great tribulation.
There is a great tribulation that is going to be poured out there.
Yes,
there's
just tribulation is daily.
That's right, but it's tribulation. That's
yeah.
great. It's not
yeah.
God's wrath.
Yeah.
And this is what they've done. They say, well, that's God's wrath. We're going to be removed from it. No, it's not. It's tribulation. That's great. Great tribulation
yes.
is when the persecution of the
mm-hmm.
church is going to be heightened like never before.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And we're seeing that right now. I don't know if y'all watch the news, not real news, not fake news, but in Australia, they are pressing down really, really hard on Christians right now. They just last week, they drug a pastor out of this pulpit and in the middle of a service, drug him out in handcuffs simply because he was having a service. They're arresting street preachers every day, and I mean not nicely. They're busting their heads with sticks and dragging them away because they're preaching the word of God. All right, this is
free countries.
This is a free country, yeah.
That's right. Canada. You
can't
preach
yes.
homosexuality.
Yeah,
that's coming here.
It's coming
the
here.
LGBT
yes.
community has tremendous power in this country,
mm-hmm.
and they bully people.
Yes.
They
yeah.
bully them. They don't. They're not saying, well, you know, you believe what you believe. They're saying, I don't like what you believe, but we're going to
believe what I believe.
That's
right. Come against you.
That's right.
And that is a grueling tribulation, but there is a time where God is going to, because of the falling away, because the love of many wax cold, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many
right.
wax cold. We're seeing the iniquity abounding, and we're watching the love in the church wax cold, which is bringing deeper and deeper. It's almost it's a snowball effect.
That's right.
And it's getting worse and worse.
See, I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to disagree. I think there is a great awakening taking place
mm-hmm.
that we are able to bind spirits because of him, but it's with the Christian community, the true Christian community.
Yes.
But the rest of the world, they're asleep.
They
are gone.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe I misunderstood
no,
that.
Okay.
But I think the awakening is taking place. You know, America, we were talking Friday, how is it that we all ended up here?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we all come from different environments. We're not from,
yeah.
but we're not, God has gathered together of people that just see what's going on in the world, seeing what's being taught in the pulpits, and going, there's something wrong here. And he's gathering the people together that just believe this, that want to know the truth. Like Alan said, I just want to know the truth. Can you lose your salvation, the tribulation, right? And that's what he's doing. Mary, I didn't even realize. Mary said that God showed her, Pope preacher, it was a joke reading Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed her.
Right.
I thought she got it from coming here.
No, they came with that track.
Yeah. I mean, don't you find this interesting? That God is gathering a bunch of people together and just say, I don't care what the outcome is.
Right.
I want to see my Savior. I want to live in his kingdom, and I don't want to be coddled being told once saved, always saved, well, you're going to hell. You got pastors telling people you can take the mark and still go to heaven.
Yes.
It's clear. Yes. Revelation makes it clear. You're going to worship the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that takes place here, in the middle. But yet you have pastors that believe in a pre-trib rapture saying you can take the mark and still go to heaven. The mark is offered here. So even their eschatology screwed up. And there is no verse that says you can take the mark and go to heaven. As a matter of fact, it mentioned, we studied it on Tuesday night. 6-7 times it's mentioned in your Bible, and every time it's mentioned, it says, you take it, you will burn.
You will be cast out. Period.
This is dispensationalism. This is once saved, always saved. Easy believism. This is a false doctrine. It has poisoned the church for the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And God is gathering people together here that says there's nothing wrong with what they're saying. And it's not because we're so smart, it's because we believe this is
true. And there are those that are coming. I am here not because of the pre-church program.
Right.
I believe it. But because in his kindness.
And absolutely,
mercy,
yeah.
He saw that I'm just kind of wondering.
Yeah.
Dealing with the issues that were happening in my life, and he wanted to be sure I didn't miss.
That's right.
The connection to what is happening in the world to his word.
That's right.
That's where I think I'm not the only
one. Right.
So, it is an amazing thing.
Because that's who he is. That's his nature.
He's
very kind. He's very merciful and loving, and he wants a relationship. And that's what this is what we're talking about. He's producing works. He's producing fruits. So I don't know if it's on your sheet, but I've got it here. Listen to John 6:26-29. Jesus say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? And Jesus answered unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he had sent. So, God, what do I have to do to satisfy God? How can I work for God? Believe on the Son. You can't see it. This is what's good. You see a synagogue of Satan because they don't have the Son. They think they have the Father. You can't have the Father without the Son. So the work of God in your life is to believe on the Son. He's my intercessor. Okay, John 15:1-5.
Mm-hmm.
I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Did you catch it? Every branch in me. Okay? So he's saying there are people that are in me that bear no fruit. You bear fruit.
Yeah. And if you don't, what happens?
We're going to read it, right?
Well, you have to remember with that verse. It says you're going to be cast into the fire.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, well, you've still made it to heaven.
That's right.
You're not making.
Yeah.
You're
that's
not
right.
You got in by the skin of your teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me give you the dispensationalist teaching on this. It's your works that are going to be burned up, but you're still getting into heaven. Is that what that says?
No.
It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. The dispensationalist will say, well, your works are the branches.
No.
No, you're not. You're the branch. You bear no fruit, you're good for nothing. Right? This is what we talked about last week, the Laodicean church. Everything they did was lukewarm. They said they believed in him, but they produced no fruit.
Now, what they used to back that teaching up is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right?
Right.
Be careful, there's only one foundation which was laid, which is Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Be careful therefore how you build on that foundation with gold and beach cross and all that stuff. Because man's work will be judged by fire.
That's
but if anything remains, the man will suffer loss, but it's going to be saved.
Yeah.
Right? But they, that whole thing is so blown.
It's a twisted
scripture. They twist it in such a way that it says something different than what it actually says.
That's right. Okay, so verse 4 says, abide in me. So how do you know if you're saved?
No, go on.
Just keep abiding. Keep abiding. You want to know if you're once saved, always saved, once prayed, always saved? Abide. Once you stop abiding, you just left your guard down. And this is what he's been teaching on the last couple weeks about the fear of the Lord. And a lot of people like to put the fear of reverencing him, which it is.
Yeah, it is.
But the fear of the Lord is that he could say, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Fear him, fear not him who could kill the body, but fear him who could kill the body and cast the soul in hell. That's what I'm to fear. That he could say to me, you have no fruit. I am going to turn to you. Well, Romans 1 says that he turns them over to wickedness, unclean minds. He can turn you over if you decide not to abide in him anymore.
And we should fear his chastisement.
And absolutely. Mike and then Mary.
What do you call your fruit?
That is what the evidence of who you believe in. It's your outward evidence. It's fruit that is being produced in you, right? That people can see that there's a difference between seeing Paul Keller as being a nice guy. Well, Paul Keller's a great guy. That's nice. Paul Keller's a great guy because he believes in Jesus Christ. That's the fruit that people see evidence of what you believe in.
In that fruit, when you see your brother or sister naked and desperate clothing, you tend to them. When you see the hungry, you feed them. When you see the thirsty, Jesus says, when did you do these things to me? When you did them to the least of these.
That's right.
That's the fruit that he's looking for. It's not how many people did you lead in a prayer.
That's right.
Say 27 souls. No! Stop that stinking thinking.
That's right.
Not what the Bible teaches.
It's what he's producing in your life. Turn to Galatians 5. And I'll finish these verses. So Galatians 5 is fruit.
Yep.
It's the what he produces in your life. It's fruit. So let me finish.
So putting it into real life application.
Yeah.
When you have a garden and you do not tend it, you don't take care of the pruning, it becomes overgrown and the weeds choke out anything that's coming up and it stops producing.
Yeah.
And because when you let the world start creeping in,
that's right.
It chokes out anything that the Lord has tried to do. That's why Adam and Eve were supposed to be garden tenders.
Right. Amen.
We've got to tend the garden that the Lord has given us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I'm going to finish that thought. I'm going to finish this verse. Verse 5, turn to Galatians 5.
John 1.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So it is him. You don't produce your own fruit. You bear it. He produces it. Well, how does he produce it? The more obedient you are to him and to his word. And like you said about the garden, you go in your garden, that plant that's there, that tomato plant, you start purging bad things off of it, the plant that's there produces more.
Right.
And not only more, it's a more robust plant.
Amen.
It's better. Okay. So, Mike, what is fruit? So if you look at Galatians 5, look at 16. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Simple enough, right? Walk in the Spirit. I'm not walking in the Spirit by watching worldly TV, or I'm walking in the Spirit by being one with God, being in his word daily, letting him feed my spirit. Okay, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do these things that you would. But if ye led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So now he's going to mention, here's not the Spirit.
Yeah, right? Here's the works of the flesh.
And here's the works of the flesh. There's 18 things there, right? 6 plus 6 plus 6. That's 18. I don't think that's a coincidence. The works of the flesh are manifest, are made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay, that kind of shoots that once confessed, always saved.
There you go.
Right in the foot.
That's right.
If you are doing these things, you're a drunkard, and you say, I'm a Christian, I just drank a bottle of scotch every day, but I'm still a Christian.
That's right.
No, you're not.
That's right.
I'm a Christian, but I do witchcraft. No,
that's right.
You're not. Okay?
And that's the point, is there is a difference between maybe falling into something.
Yes.
Falling into one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And a difference in practicing
you
without any conviction.
Once you're there,
it's right.
It's eating you up that you're there.
Amen.
That's right.
It's like standing in a fire in a bed.
Right.
You cannot stay there for long.
Can't live there.
Gary.
Earlier in this session, you had made a statement, and I think murderers is in it. Be careful. What you say? About a child being molested or not?
I didn't say I would. I said if it's in my heart, then I would like to.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you said you would.
No.
There's a difference between murder and killing. You can defend, in fact, the Old Testament, you're supposed to defend, and Jesus tells you to defend the widows and orphans.
Gary, does that bother you, a child being raped or a woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, if it was your grandchild,
any child,
all right, but I would, and I'm not saying I'm planning on it. Murder is where you plan it in. I'm going to wait for that guy around the bush, and when he gets here, I'm going to kill him. That's a murder.
But.
Yeah.
I understand that reaction. I understand it. But be careful that you're not putting your reaction above God's reaction. God loves us far more than anybody in this room could possibly
vengeance
love
is not.
That's stepping into vengeance and judgment.
So, I absolutely understand the emotion behind it, but I would say that God is calling us to bring
it. The point I'm trying to make is that kind of defilement makes me angry.
It should be
righteous.
But we also need to remember that Jesus said that if you even think it, it's a heart issue.
Yeah.
You got to.
Oh, yeah, I have a wicked heart, brother. I tell you what, I have a way in my mind to deal with things that is not godly.
And it truly is our sin. It truly is our sin that has brought all of us into the world.
Yeah.
God didn't bring us into the world. Nobody's blamed but ourselves.
Right.
When we look at these things that are hateful, we need to look at how depraved we are.
Right.
Because regardless of the sin, you can't set one sin above another sin.
Right.
And I know this. I know how hard this is to not do.
Yeah.
It is very, because everybody's given a different personality, and they will hate much more one area than another. But we are the fault of it.
Yeah.
We are the fault of it. That should be the humbling.
Yes.
It shouldn't take us to vengeance, and it shouldn't take us to judgment. It should take us to humility.
I'll get this out. I think the spirit behind it. That it's not just it's the person. It's not just the rapist or the pedophile. It's the spirit, the wicked, unclean spirit that is guiding that thing that I hate.
Yes.
So, Doug.
Yeah, the Lord's really been on me because I have a real problem with things like politicians that you guys are bringing up and some really vile things come out of my mouth. And the Lord reminds me about committing these sins in my heart, or murder in my heart.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, he's sent probably 6 or 7 different people all over the place on the internet and life and you guys trying to help me out with getting over this. That this
absolutely.
Stuff is
and that's why we are here.
And I've heard it from everybody. I even heard it from a missionary that was at First Bible just a couple of weeks ago. Deal with that very same subject. I knew it was directly at me.
Right.
Maybe others too, but I knew that was for me. That's a real problem for me. I have to stay away from that news in order to keep myself from that because I'll sin and God will bring it right to my attention. As soon as I'm thinking it, or even if I say it, because I'll say it.
Yeah.
As long as I like it here.
The idea is,
I mean, I'm not swearing, but I'm being...
Yeah, and the idea isn't that I'm on the internet looking for pedophiles to go beat them up. That's not, I'm saying the spirit behind that kind of wickedness is the thing that I despise.
If we are indeed in battle, then we need to be looking to the one. If you have an army that's advanced, you have to listen to the voice of the commander. Because this guy over here doesn't know what this one over here is going to do. They are following one, they're following the commander. This one can get upset with the enemy, this one, and go off on their own. And that's where he needs us to stay together. He needs us to stay submitted to him and keep our eyes on him.
Absolutely.
And emotion can sometimes get away for all of us.
Right.
For everyone.
Okay, so you just saw the works of the flesh, which is another spirit, right? It is a spirit. The works of the flesh are the spirit of Satan, right? And there's the list of them. So verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, so if you just count, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, such as there is no law. How many was there?
10. When is 10? I was running my finger.
9.
9. Okay.
What's 9? What is 9?
It's a priest.
Number what does 9 represent? I like that. I didn't think of that.
Galatians is the 9th book of the New Testament. 9 is the number of fruit bearing. Abraham was 99 when Isaac was conceived.
That's right.
And Sarah was 90.
And how long does a woman carry a child?
9 months.
9 months. It's a new birth.
Yeah.
See, this spirit, that's not a coincidence. That's a new birth. That's being born again. You don't, these things, why are these things in the Bible? Because they don't come naturally. You have to receive them by the Holy Spirit. Our natural person are these 18 other things.
Yes.
To feed your flesh.
Right.
Right? But now you're not that person anymore. You now have these 9 things dwelling within you that God is producing in your bearing.
As an evidence
that's
of
right.
your work.
That's right.
I like it. I did the other thing.
That was great. I mean, Alan, Doug, I never even saw all those, but that was a blessing. But you can see it's a new person, a new life. Ye must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We all know the verse, Nicodemus.
Yeah.
How are you a teacher in Israel? You don't understand this.
Yeah.
That is born of the flesh is flesh. That is born of spirit is spirit. Nobody is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Except Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah. I think John Baptist was born of the Holy Spirit. But everybody needs to receive the Holy Spirit. You need to receive Christ. How do I receive it? I have to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And what? So... there's a lot of people who walk out there walking around and say they're Christians. They don't look any different than the rest of the world. Did they really receive Christ?
And
I would say it's no.
Again, back in John, if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom.
That's right.
That see is more than just look at it. It means understand and comprehend. You can't focus. You can't even wrap your mind around the kingdom of God unless you're born again.
That's right.
It's spiritually discerned.
See what the book of Revelation does? Why? The book of Revelation, chapter 1 and chapter 22 says, blessed is he who read it and keep it and hear it. Yeah. The prophecies of this book. So there's, but yet the churches don't study the book of Revelation. And when I know it, I just ask God to show me this. Well, God has shown me it's not about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's about your relationship.
Right. It's all, the whole of the book is about Christ, and Christ is about relationship.
That's right.
Always.
So, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of love and lust.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was crucified for our sins, we are to crucify our own sins. The problem is, we struggle, the flesh against the spirit. And you're never going to be perfect in this world.
Right.
When you fall towards
it.
Okay. And it's nice because he told us that.
Yeah.
So that when we fall, we're not saying, oh,
that's
no, it's all over. He told us.
If you say you have no sin, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Right? But with the sin, when we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. Okay, so.
I have one thing to ask that you're talking about. This is about relationship. The with us when we die.
That's right.
It's the only thing.
That's right.
That's the only thing that's going to matter when he appears, is your relationship with him.
Which reveals that the only thing that's really worth anything is your relationship.
That's right. So, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay, so there, it's right there. There's supposed to be a changed life. Go back to Revelation 2. So that's part one of all that. So the next thing he says is, tribulation, poverty, but thou art rich. And we talked about this. What does this mean? That you're poor, you're poverty, but you're rich. Well, broke, poverty means that you're broke. You're broke. You're a beggar. You're constantly begging. I think I wrote it on one of the machines there. That what you're doing is, the Bible talks about these, if you look at Psalm 34:18, I don't know if it's on your sheet, but it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and such that be of a contrite spirit. Right? So this is how he draws near to you. He's looking at the heart. He's not looking at the mind. He's not looking how handsome you are, you know, how much money you have, what a great orator you are in the pulpit. He's looking at the heart. You look at the ones that follow Jesus. It wasn't the scribes, the religious leaders. It wasn't the Pharisees. It was the simple people. That their heart was after God. They knew, the Jewish people were not ignorant of scriptures. Right. They knew scriptures. They were brought up with scriptures. And when they saw him, they fell in love with him.
Yeah.
Right? But it was the religious leaders that couldn't stand him. Which makes you...
Isaiah, that there's nothing comely about him.
That's
that
right.
We should follow him.
That's right.
That we should even consider him.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing beautiful on the outward appearance of Christ. So these pictures that we have, and these ideals that we have, and this nice long-haired, curly brown, blue-eyed Christ, it's all clean and stuff, that's not kind of what
right.
I look like.
It's not.
It's
then if he shows up in your vision,
yeah.
in your dream, it's probably not him.
That's right.
Okay, he's in the wrong
world. That's right. The next time he appears, everyone's going to see him.
Right.
He is not appearing to Muslims right now over there. He doesn't. He might reveal himself by missionaries or by scripture or something like that or by somebody else. But the next time Jesus appears to people, it's going to be open in front of the whole world.
In glory, great.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that the Lord looks at the heart because the heart pumps the blood and the life is
in the blood.
Well, and the heart controls the mind, right? When the mind dies, the heart dies, the mind dies.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart has four chambers. Four is a dimensional word. It's a dimension. It's a dimensional number. How many gospels are there?
Four.
It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We could go on and on about it. So I'm just continuing with the broken and a contrary. So you're going to be broken. What did Jesus say? That it'd be better that you, that the rock... that you would fall on the rock and be broken.
Right.
He's the rock. I sin. It's better for me to fall on the rock and me be broken than for that rock to come and crush me.
Right. Ground you into powder.
Okay. Psalm 51:17 it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. O God, wilt thou not despise. Isaiah 57:15 For thus saith, remember who he is and who we are. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Remember, that's what we worship, a holy God. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So you can see, he's constantly adding things here. So it's not just that you're broken, it's that you reference this. We say it all the time. Jesus is this. You want to have a relationship with Jesus, read him. Read his words. That's how he speaks to you. I speak to him by praying
right.
and walking Mr. Yes. McTavish after I get the horse out.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm talking to him. That's how I speak to him. If I just have a relationship with Lisa and I'm doing all the talking, it's not a relationship. How does he speak to me? Right here. Mm-hmm. He will. He will speak to your heart. He will put things on your heart and you're going to go, that's from God. That's Jesus speaking to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so contrite. What does contrite mean? That's there on the sheet. Literally, worn or bruised, hence brokenhearted for sin. Deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. Humble, penitent, as a contrite sinner. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for the heart, not the mind. He's looking for someone who is broken. They can't save themselves. They can't help themselves. They need a Savior. They get it. Since I've been saved, I need him. I didn't get saved and never need him again. I need him every day, and every day, the more I live, the more I need my relationship to grow with him. Lance.
Makes sense. Like, you know, Paul, he's going to be the only one that's going to save.
That's right. That's right.
And I didn't know that he fell towards him.
Yeah.
Well, study falling away or fall back.
Yeah.
That is falling going away from him. Falling to him, standing, is falling towards him.
Satan will do the opposite. So,
yeah.
Like you're saying, so if you're referencing this, you know, he's the one to pick.
That's right. That's right. He's the
Satan
one.
Satan definitely is going to pick you up.
Yeah. It's not about you. It's about him. Yeah. It's all about him. I said, if I was God, I'm done. I'm done with you people. I'm done with me. I'm starting all over again. But it's not, he desires a relationship, and that's why he didn't make a bunch of robots. That's why he allowed Adam and Eve. That's why he allowed sin to come into the world. That's why he's allowed 6,000 years of sin and the world getting darker and darker and darker, because as it's getting darker and darker, the children of light see that it's getting darker and darker, and we are so excited about it, because we're the ones who get it. I know he's been here once. He's coming again. He promised. I didn't do this. I just fell on the rock.
Yeah.
He did.
That's the very explanation of communion. It's not about the practice of drinking wine and breaking bread. It is knowing that every time you fall, remember Christ will be there.
That's right.
To feed you and bring you up again. Remember that every time you sin, his blood is there to wash
That's
your
right.
bread. It is not done complete at the beginning. It's a process that you will walk through the rest of your natural life here on earth. Every time you're broken, remember him. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember him. He is there for us. He says so many times he is faithful
That's
to be
right.
there for us. If we turn to him, we will be changed. He will heal that and build us up.
He's
That's
there.
True communion.
Mm-hmm.
It's the true understanding of what communion is. Every time we meet
That's
him,
right.
he says
it's and are we to have communion? As a congregation, right?
But
yeah, you have people
that
never practice communion.
Yeah, but
right.
it's more than the practice. The practice is just a simple ritual.
Right, right.
We're not to practice rituals.
That's right.
These understandings are given to us in a physical sense so that we can understand the spirituality of them. And that's the changing point. When your eyes are open, that it's not about the physical, it's about the spiritual.
That's right.
The spirit, the physical was just a simple, he came to us because we are physical, to show us physical things, teaching us in that manner, but for spiritual understanding, I have to fall on him every time.
That's right.
I cannot make my own choices. I cannot teach myself. The whole law showed me that. Mm-hmm. I have to go to him, and he will faithfully give it in of his body. He will faithfully be, once again, be that light.
That's right.
It changes me. I have to change.
That's right.
I have to diminish it. He increases.
What he said is right, and I agree with that, but I want to add to that. Because when he does that, the night of the Lord's Supper, he says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, mm-hmm. and this is my blood which was shed for you. We're to be reminded in remembrance of him, the cost.
Yes.
Of what it costs.
That's right.
For salvation.
And
right.
That leads into what he said. It's a big picture.
Yeah, that's
God
right.
God very seldom only says one thing. He ain't what he says.
Oh.
Right.
It's loaded with
the wisdom of that.
Oh, yeah, you read a verse and you can apply it, and sometimes you can apply it all over the place.
And what is communion? It's a group.
Yes, right.
It's a group of people together practicing this. And it's an ordinance from him. Mm-hmm. He says, you keep this until I come.
Right.
So we are to keep the practice of it until he comes again.
It's the building of one body, one spirit, one Lord, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That it was it's dispensed through the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's the only way. The only way is through him. I can't understand it, achieve it. It has to be through him.
That's right.
And that's a continuation. One body, one spirit, one Lord.
That's right. So that's being poor and contrite. That you're constantly looking at and saying, what do poor people do? Right? We're all right here. Poor people beg for what they need.
Mm-hmm.
That was Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus had everything in this world, and the rich man had everything in this world, and Lazarus was the poor beggar at the table.
Yeah.
Who's the one that got the reward at the end? He was begging for God's mercy, God's grace. So I got John 6, 28-35 here.
Don't you love that?
Yeah.
You got
it in
the notes.
Yeah. It was so good when I was studying. So verse 28, 6:28. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? Right? What is the work of God? To believe on the Son. Mm-hmm. Jesus answered unto them and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And they said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest us thou that we might see and believe, see that thou doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Please. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So, like we were saying, end times prophesying, this is not going to save you. What's going to save you is your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. That is all that's going to matter. How he deals with you, and even if he allows you to pay the ultimate price for it, he is going to comfort you during that time. And I think last week we talked about during this time, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see Christians protected.
Yeah.
Not all. Some are going to pay the ultimate price, and I forgot to bring that up last week. It almost made it sound like we're going to get through this thing without dying. Mm-hmm. Not all.
Even in that, what we consider the ultimate price, that is the glory of God. Jesus, foreseeing the glory that was laid before him, endured the cross.
That's right.
It was the glory that was going to come that was laid before him, that was put out there, and he willingly laid down his life. Willing.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he did it, we should do it.
Yeah.
Right? So, there's typology here in this, John chapter 7, verse 37-39. In the last day, that great day of the feast. So Jesus is literally coming to a feast. But just think, there's typology here that's playing out. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake, but this spake he of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's the picture. It's not just your fleshly desires of wanting water, wanting bread. It's the spiritual aspect of all this. But this he spake of the Spirit, and they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Matthew 5. More typology, right? And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he said the disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, which is it? Heaven or earth? Yes.
Amen.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yes.
That kingdom is coming here. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. That kingdom is coming here, and it's the blessed that are going to receive it.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is.
That's right. And exactly. When he appears, he's bringing the kingdom with him.
Yes.
Okay. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what we should be thirsting after, righteousness. Not desires of the world, but of righteousness. For they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted. What?
Persecuted.
For righteousness' sake. Other verses say, for my name's sake. Mm-hmm. He's the righteous.
Amen.
Okay? For righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute. What?
Yeah, come on.
And shall of all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and exceed and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his favor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Right? This is a warning.
Yeah.
You're the salt, but if you lose your salt, you're good for nothing. What does he do with things that are good for nothing?
It's kind of like God's life.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep. No,
that's good. But be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. He is. The Bible is the light of the world. It is. We're his offspring. We are little lights. Shining.
He gives a picture of that too, of the sun and the moon.
That's
the moon,
right,
doesn't produce its own light, it reflects the light,
that's right,
of the sun, which is a type of Jesus Christ.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So there it is. How do I know Mara is a nice person? Is she a nice person because she's a nice person? It's because she believes in Jesus Christ. That's what you're to know.
So as the world gets darker and darker,
yeah,
our light will actually shine brighter and brighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how bright it shines,
yeah,
because as it gets darker, the brightness.
It illuminates, yeah. And the interesting thing about that, have you ever been to one of those caves where they turn off all the lights?
Yeah.
Went to Ruby Falls years ago, and they bring you deep into the cave, and they shut off all the lights. There's a darkness that you can
feel.
And it's
yeah,
heaviness.
Yeah.
And then one light, way off in the distance, you can see it. 100. But if you're in a city where there's a lot of lights, you can't see a small light.
That's right.
But once it gets dark, I mean really dark, then light magnifies its own self.
study light in the Bible. I mean, it's clear that it says if your eye is single, it's light.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of great stuff about studying the light. Yeah.
The light you perceive is darkness, and how deep is that darkness?
That's right. Oh. So, yeah. It produces light in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to Revelation 2. So we're going to look at something here. Verse 9 again. We're going to look at synagogue. Mm-hmm. So I know that tribulation is a property, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy that say they are Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan. So we've talked about this before. This is the same warning in Philadelphia. You know, the church he compliments gives the same warning, that there's a synagogue of Satan. Right, what does that mean? Well, it's not a church. What are synagogues? They're not mosques. They're Jewish temples.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, a third of them are going to get saved. Right? They're going to institute animal sacrifice again. But two-thirds of them are going to follow the devil.
Yeah.
Those are going to be synagogues. And they're going to bring people in there, and they're going to persecute them and put them in prison. This idea that, synagogues, that's the Jews. He's dealing with the Jews this time. They're not bringing themselves into synagogues. Who's being brought in? The problem. The one that has the Son, but not and the Father. They only say they have the Father. I'll say this. Jewish people, there's a fine line here. Israel and Jewish people, 70% of them are secular. That's why they don't look different than Catholics. They go along, they vote Democrat, abortion, 70%. The 30% are divided. Some are try to keep the commandments, Torah, Pentateuch. The other half are Kabbalists. They actually practice witchcraft. So there's going to be a time when this is instituted, I think those synagogues are going to go, we didn't sign up for the animal sacrifice. We're going to be synagogues. They're synagogues of Satan.
There's stuff in the Torah telling you two different Jewish people. Some people are Jewish. Not many follow the Torah.
Right.
And
right.
The Talmud is actually Babylonian.
Right.
And it's vile.
Kabbalism.
Isn't it the Hasidic Jews who are the most religious of the Jews that are into that?
Yeah.
Talmud.
That stuff.
Witchcraft. Yeah. It's witchcraft.
It says also, the scripture says there that they call themselves Jews and what?
Are not.
So that poses another question.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is the true Jew? What is the true Israel?
Right.
Jacob I have loved and Esau.
That's right.
They came out the same moment at the same time.
I don't make a call on them.
Yeah. I don't make it.
Well, let's look at Galatians. Turn to Ephesians and Galatians. Turn to Galatians 5. This is a side trip we're going to take to. Galatians 5 and Ephesians 2. Galatians 6. And then we'll flip over the next page on Ephesians 2. So what is the true you? What is the true Israel of God? Okay. 6:15. For in Christ there is neither circumcision, right? The Jew availeth anything, or uncircumcision, Gentile, but a new creature. But as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and the mercy upon the Israel of God. No difference. That's the true Jew, the true Israel, right? He even said all those that are of Israel and are not of Israel in Romans. He talks about them. The true Israel, the true Jew, is the saved person that is going to dwell in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ephesians, turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians is written to Gentiles, right? Verse 1, and you who have quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin. That's verse 1. You, Gentiles, right? Even when we were dead in sins, that he quickened, verse 5, had quickened us together with Christ by grace to your sake. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 11. Wherefore, when ye were in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by them which are called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Right? So the Jews are the flesh made by hands. Oh, he calls us the uncircumcised. This is the true believer. Right? Well, verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the Gentiles. They didn't get the promises. They didn't come to the Gentiles, came to the Jews. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye were, sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, and made both one, Jew and Gentile, made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity of the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off. We were a future plan, and to them that were not, and he was always with them. For though we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, now therefore ye are no more strangers and fellow citizens or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also now building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. One people. That's it. And what you'll be accused of is replacement theology. All your anti-Semitic. Now, he's clearly not done with them in the flesh. He's going to save them. But when he appears, there's one kingdom. It's his kingdom, Israel, true Jews, true believers, under Christ. One people, right? Ahab's not going to dwell in the kingdom. He's going to burn. Jezebel, Ahab, Edward G. Robinson, they're going to burn in hell being Jewish people, but they didn't receive the promise, right? All right, so that was a side trip. One people, the synagogue of Satan, Philadelphia, the other church that he commends, says the same thing, 3:9. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, like Doug just said, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Are they worshiping you? No. You have dominion, you're standing on them. You have dominion over them now. They have ruled over us for 6,000 years. They have persecuted us, persecuted God people for 6,000 years. Now we are going to have dominion over them. And they're of Satan. They're a synagogue of Satan.
Tom, I don't know if I'm oversimplifying this, but so how today we have churches and people say that they're Christians? Right? Okay, but a lot of Christians are not Christians because they're not truly following Christ, these churches. With the synagogue of Satan, is it kind of the same thing? They're Jewish temples, but they're not following God?
Absolutely, yeah.
I had a hard time grasping this concept of the synagogue of Satan, exactly what that's...
Synagogues were made... Churches actually follow the example of synagogues. What they used to do, the synagogue was not the temple. The temple is where you went to sacrifice. The synagogue, don't forget, Jesus went into the synagogue, opened the scroll.
Every little town has its own synagogue.
So a synagogue was where to go to worship.
Exactly. The synagogues were churches before there were churches.
Right.
But, and I don't know, I'm so sorry, I don't know the scripture reference, but it talks about in the synagogues, you put weight on men to bear this. You tell them what they should do.
That's right.
It's not possible to do.
That's right.
So you would make them more of the children of hell. So the idea is that this was a place of worship, and truly, if they were teaching out of a loving heart for God, that could be a beautiful thing. But what they do is say, no, 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 you have to perform this, you have to do this, you have to do it just this way. Nope, nope, you did it the wrong way.
Then so ritualistic.
Yes, ritualistic and impossible, because they themselves can't do it. That's where I can see where it is a satanic kind of thing, that I know I can't do it, but I'm going to tell you that you have to.
That's right.
Nobody can
do it. Hypocrisy.
And you're going to join me in hell.
That's
because
right.
nobody can do those things.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? So
yeah.
that's where that evil comes in, because otherwise it's just innocent people that didn't know.
That's
now
right.
They know that they're putting on the weights of people, things that cannot be borne by themselves, but they do it anyway, knowing they will not succeed.
And then, go ahead.
And that's where you would find Satan. Above all else, he desires worship. He's got to be around the religious things.
That's
because that's what he wants.
That's good.
So a very religious place with little...
Oh, yeah. He's, that's where his interest is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
kind of like how the Catholic Church is?
Or ultra-Orthodox.
Or ultra, okay. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
again,
I would not just say Catholic. I would say Baptist. He's the Nicolaitan. He rules over in Europe. And I'm not saying all,
but
we have gone haywire in churches where we look at that. Kevin said it the other day perfectly. He'll come up to you, hey, buddy, how you doing? How you doing? And nobody knows the pastor.
Yeah.
He's just this nice guy that shakes everybody's hand. Nobody knows him. Poof, he's gone.
Yeah.
And he stands up there in the pulpit and he chastises everybody while he doesn't do these things himself.
Yes.
This is what's happening in a modern church, Lance.
It would have to be some type of religious, you know, organization that say perhaps it does say in the Bible that he transfers himself into an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are going to follow that as the churches.
And remembering what his desire is, that his throne will be above the throne of the Most High. Right? He's desiring that worship of man.
That's right.
And so what better way than make a bunch of rules that no man can follow? So, and again, my sin always looks worse on somebody else.
Right.
Right? And that goes with all of us, whether you're a pastor or not. You know, what I'm doing wrong looks a lot worse on you than it does on me.
That's right.
In my eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the synagogue of Satan, that Nicolaitan spirit, that Jezebel spirit, that spirit of unrighteousness.
There's two things with synagogue of Satan and Nicolaitanism. One, it allows lascivious living.
Thank you.
You can live however you want. You just claim Christ. Another thing, they rule over the lady.
Right.
That's not how this works. That's not how pastoring works. We're all one community, one unit.
Yes.
His gift is pastoring.
Right.
That doesn't make him better than Warren.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Lance.
I mean, if you look at the Pharisees, that's kind of how they act.
Absolutely.
They're very hypocritical, you know, put a burden on people, and look at the fruit. They're the ones.
I'm telling you, Lance, I think a lot of us are starting to see modern pastoring is compared to what Jesus chastised
right.
with the scribes, Pharisees,
yeah.
and Sadducees. It's almost exactly the same.
You can see it, the contrast is not... not there. It's kind of just falls in line with, you know, each other.
That's
as
right.
As far as how the Pharisees acted and how, you know, religious organizations are running the day.
That's right. So the synagogue of Satan, it's found in, we saw in Revelation, he's talking to the churches. In Mark 13, Luke 21, it's mentioned there too about the Olivet Discourse, which is talking about end times. And what the pre-tribbers will do in a dispensational sense, they'll see the word synagogue and they'll say, see, that's for Israel, that's not for us. But who's bringing who in there? Mark 13:9 says, but take heed to yourselves. First of all, Mark 13, verse 3, he's talking to Peter, James, John, and Andrew. They're apostles, right? Matthew 24, he doesn't call them apostles. He says the disciples came unto him. That's what we are.
Right.
We are not apostles. The apostles, it's over. An apostle was handpicked by Jesus Christ and saw him resurrected. The last apostle picked was Paul. He physically saw Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ can pick them. There are no more apostles. Why doesn't he call them the apostles here? He calls them disciples in Matthew 24. It's because he's talking to us, his disciples. So, verse 9 says, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. Councils. Is there only councils in Israel? Is that just for Jewish people? Councils? And in the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers. So rulers, too. There's rulers right here in Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Rulers and kings, for my sake, for a testimony against them. For my sake. A bunch of unbelieving Jews are not being brought into synagogues and councils to torment them. The believer is. I live for his name's sake. Right? And the gospel must first be published among all nations. We're the ones with the gospel. We have. We want to put it on everybody else, but that's not for us. We're the ones who have the gospel till the end of the world. Right? But when they shall leave you, here's a promise. You know, think about this. They say 2 Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit's removed from the earth for God. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand where ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So apparently the Holy Ghost is on the earth during that time.
Yeah.
And the three trippers say, oh no, it's gone, it left with us. Right, Doug? That's what they say. The Holy Spirit left with us in the pre-trib. This verse says, he's here.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's lying.
I don't think it's Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah, if there's a Christian there, he's got to be there.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Right.
I think that's a great reminder, though, that we shouldn't be thinking about what we're going to say when this happens.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, this is what this is about. This is what the book of Revelation is about. Your relationship with him.
Right.
That's what it's about.
And if you have a relationship with God, you're in his word, and the Holy Spirit will be able to pull that word out of you.
That's right.
Think about, even in this congregation right here, where the Holy Spirit is pulling scripture from here, scripture from there.
Yeah.
How many of y'all studied what you're going to say today?
Right. But it's just coming out.
It's just coming out.
That's right. Spirit led.
Yes,
Spirit. Okay, so brother shall betray brother, and unto death. And the father of the son, and the children shall rise up against the parents, and shall cause them to be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Unbelieving Jews are not dying for his name's sake.
Right.
They might have cursed themselves because of him, right? The Holocaust or whatever. We're the ones who have his name's sake. Okay, and he shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth until the beginning of the tribulation shall be saved.
Yes.
Is that what it says?
No.
It says he that endureth till the end. He that endureth till the end shall be saved. The end. I only know one end.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. Okay, so then that was the point, I think last week I kind of made it sound like, oh, we're all going to be protected during this time.
Mm-hmm.
Some are going to pay the ultimate. But if you do, he's there with you.
Right.
He will be there. I promise you, he will be there with you.
And it's an honor.
It's absolutely.
Not everybody's going to get a chance for that honor.
That's right. That's good.
It's a special anointing to go through that, to not deny your faith when those things are being happening to your body.
Paul, for greater love hath no man than to lay his life down for his brother. You don't pass through judgment. You have exceeded the high mark.
Yeah.
A person only needs to be judged when they need to be measured against the high mark. When you reach the high mark, there is no judgment that stands against you. That's the scriptures say that you will not be. There is no. And they're speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. They said there's no measure against that. But if you walk in the Spirit, there's no judgment against the high mark.
That's
if
right.
You truly die a martyr's death.
You don't
stand before the Lord and a sword as a sheep and a goat.
Yeah.
You have died a martyr's death. You've reached the high mark. There's nothing that you don't have to be judged at.
That's right.
Doesn't Paul say accounted to be worthy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're
don't just get that.
There are some that die that will be, that their life will be valued. You know, they will say, have you done these things, have you not? And they will die naturally, they will die a death, you know, the sin is brought upon them. But there are others that are actually martyred.
Yes.
There is no measure higher. God says, this is the measure, you've reached it. And what more can we say?
Something that can be done sometimes, we all need to, is I read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, page 15. So I read it, I tried.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard. But with that, with the Christians, the Colosseums, with the apostles, all of this points to the goodness and grace of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit indwells them. And our mistake is to say, that man was amazing. Mm. Look at how great that man was. Yeah. And that man themselves, whether it's the Apostle Paul, whether it's the woman that went into the Colosseum and was
Mr. Graham,
even because she didn't, whoever it is, we cannot elevate that person because Christ is showing us.
And he is in that person. He is preparing that person for what is about to happen.
Yes.
We say it all the time, the three boys of Israel, they knew they were thrown into a fiery furnace. They expected death, but yet the fourth one was there. You expected to die, but yet, like you said, a lot of times we look at people and say, he's such a good... It's Christ.
Amen.
If you're going to pay the ultimate price, he's going to prepare you for it. He's going to be there with you.
And Paul will be the first one to say, don't give me the credit.
That's right.
Do not give me the credit. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, all the apostles gave credit, and everybody through the ages. Anyone who has died as a martyr, no matter how horrible the death might have been, they're all going to point to the Holy Spirit.
And not to
they'd be offended if you tried to give them credit.
Yes, and yet often we do that. We elevate the person and to a danger.
Yeah.
Lance. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here be me to be in me. So Philippians tells us you're going to suffer for his sake. So let's just go through some of these. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And he opened the fifth seal, and I saw the altar, the souls that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. What's the testimony? Testimony is I believe in Jesus Christ. And they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, such to be fulfilled. So this is the lot for Christians, for God's children. Revelation 11:7. When they have finished their testimony, the beast which ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. These are the two witnesses. They're not escaping anything. He's going to kill them. Revelation 12:7-17. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, the devil, Satan, which deceived the whole world, and was cast out of the earth, and his angels with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him, the believer overcame the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Okay? 13:6-10. And this is the Antichrist, and he opened his mouth and blasphemed again to God, and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle to them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto against the saints, and to overcome them, and power is given unto him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Antichrist, the devil, and whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So we're patient. Revelation 12. Revelation 14, 12, and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, filled with them the wrath of God. The wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, see a glass mingled with fire, and then they got victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, O King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? Glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, and thy judgment are made manifest. 16:5-6. I heard an angel saying of the water, saying, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, which was, and which shall be, because thou hast judged thus far. And they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and I shall see his shame. 19:1-9. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord. Who's being glorified through this whole thing?
Jesus.
Okay, for true and righteous are his judgments, that he had judged the great whore and did corrupt the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of his servants in her hand. And again, they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Verse 6. And I heard a great voice, a great multitude of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, Lord God omnipotent, reign. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed with fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? These are true. Okay, verse Revelation 20. And I saw 24. And I saw thrones, they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither taken his image, neither received a mark in their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, so 22, Revelation 22. 3-7, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. His servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which shortly must be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So, who's being glorified during this whole time? Christians are being persecuted and martyred and glorified God. Let's pray. Father,
Father God, we do come before you, and we are so thankful that you have met us here this morning, that you have opened up your word and taught us true scripture, taught us the truth, Lord. I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around this building, around our church, around our congregation, Lord. The devils are out there. Please do not allow them to come in here and disrupt us and have their way with us. Lord God, we want to serve you here. We want to praise you and worship you here. We know that our lives are nothing without Jesus Christ, and it is to him that we look to build our relationship, to draw nearer and nearer to him. And I am so thankful, Father God, that you have given him to us, that we may have eternal life. I pray for Pastor Fitz as he brings forth the message today and in the future as we come together, that we would just hear from you, enlarge our hearts, and draw us nearer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.